We are so glad that you're visiting with us this morning, if you are here for the first time. And if you always come, we are happy that you come back again. Amen. I forgot to tell you that this is the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. So welcome. I want to go through some announcements before we get into the message. One is that we have with us two brothers that are actually placing membership. One is Sky, right here. Let's please welcome him and shout to him. The other is Donnell. Now, he's not here, but his father is Francis Bill, and his mother, you know the parents here. So he many of you know him from childhood, but those of you who don't know him, you'll see him around today somewhere else worshiping, but he'll be here next Sunday. So Donnell has also placed membership, and let's reach out to them and get to know them. As well, we have a brother visiting from Jamaica, and his name is Hood. That's... And today we have ourselves a special brother and sister who have a dear friends of this church. They live in Durban, South Africa. They've been here since, I believe, Friday. The women have had a class from Lisa Comrie. And this morning we'll get a chance to hear from Duncan Comrie. So I'd like to appreciate them and ask them to come on the stage. Just give them a bit of thank you.
Oh, wow.
As you know, they oversee Zambia, and we have a good partnership there. We support Zambia. They're great brothers. We worked together before we came here. And so we want to thank you for our partnership in the gospel. We love you so much, and we can't wait but hear from you, Duncan. Without further ado, let's welcome Duncan to speak to us this morning.
Good morning, folk. Well, it's wonderful to be able to be here, and we arrived on, at about 1 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and it was a 40-hour trip from door to door, and so I should be able to make some sense this morning, because I've had a bit of sleep, but it's wonderful to be able to be with Steve and Carol, to be able to spend amazing time with the eldership of the church, and just really do appreciate just the love that we can have for one another. But I do appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for your hearts for Africa. It's a continent that I just love. I was born there. My dad was born there. His father was born there. So I'm African. I just love being part of Africa. Amen. And if I choked one day and I moved to the States, what would you call me? African American. There we go. Absolutely. Now think about that one. Yeah. Amen. If you could please turn with me to the book of John chapter 15. But before we go there, let's have a bit of entertainment and a couple of pictures. Amen. Because we've got children amongst us and we want to keep you awake. We've got some photographs. And as you can see, if you've not been to Africa, you need to come to Africa to see the Big Five. Amen. It's one of those things you need to see in your lifetime. And here's a picture of my family. You've met Lisa. Amen. And I've got two daughters. Lindsay is turning 25 in a few weeks' time, and Shelley's 22 years old. Have you heard of the word labola? Not Ebola. So I was preaching in Northview on Wednesday night. I had hardly slept, and I was talking about labola, and they thought I was talking about Ebola. And I said, you see, I stick to the culture of my continent. And I'm so blessed because when my two girls get married, I get 15 cows for each one of them. And then I can retire. I'll be a wealthy man. You know, so I love our culture. Amen. So if you're interested, come and speak to me. But I'm looking for the cows. Amen. And I think Steve has got their culture too. So just beware. Amen. This is Southern Africa. Southern Africa has 13 countries. And it's amazing what God is doing in Southern Africa. We've got 21 churches. Out of the 21 churches, we only have full-time staff in 8 of them. So we're praying and we're begging God to continuously move and open hearts. And over the last few years, it has been incredible seeing more and more countries and churches getting full-time staff. Amen. It is really such a blessing to be able to work with these folk. And once a year, we have this leadership gathering. And it's a great time where we collaborate and we sit down and we learn from one another and we brainstorm and we go for walks along the beach and we pray and we eat a lot. Amen. And it's great to be able to work with the guys from Zimbabwe, Dave and Barbara, the guys from Cape Town, PE, and then obviously we got Twombo and Yvonne over there, which we'll speak a bit more about in a few minutes. This is Zimbabwe, so that's a map of Zimbabwe. It's got 10 provinces. We've got churches in Harare, Bulawayo, Gweru, Masvingo, and Mataru. And we've got 2 couples that are in the full-time ministry. And so a lot of work to still be done and a lot to pray about. Amen. Now we go on to Malawi, and we've got an amazing couple from Kenya. Amen. Thank you, Steve, for introducing us to them. And they started the work in Malawi about 18 months ago. Our church there was not doing well. It was shrinking. We had no leadership for years. And it had gone down to about 8 or 9 folk. And in the last 18 months, we have a church in Blantyre with 20 disciples now. And so, praise God for that. So they are actually responsible for all the work in Malawi, and they travel between Blantyre and Lilongwe. Here is our young man, Twombo. Maturing man, awesome brother, and Yvonne. And you know, there's a lot of great work going on in Lusaka, Zambia. We got Monzu, we got Kitwe, and Livingston. If you want to go to Vic Falls, it's a great place to go. You know, just so proud of them and so proud of the work that they are involved in. Twombo and I are great friends. We even run marathons together. And so this was on the 1st of May this year. Twombo and I ran this marathon. We ran side by side. We talked the whole way. We got faster and faster and faster. And he had this old man running next to the youth, you know, and we were just, it was just a phenomenal time. And he went on to run the Comrades Marathon, which is 56 miles. Amen. And Durban, we are part of the Warm Ocean, which is the Indian Ocean. We live in an amazing city. It's such a cosmopolitan city. We've got the most amount of Indians in a city outside of India. Over 1 million. And so it's an amazing place. We've got groups in Port Shepstone and Pietermaritzburg. It's wonderful to be able to be there and serve the Lord with my wife. This is a last Sunday. We had a cultural Sunday, so I don't normally dress in a kilt. This is the first time I've been in a kilt. I learned a bit about my ancestors. Apparently, they came to Africa in 1850. We had such an amazing service. We prayed in 7 different languages. We ate all these types of food. We had the bagpipes doing Amazing Grace after the Lord's Supper. And tears were just flowing. It was incredible to be there. That is Twombo's girlfriend. But let's move on. Amen. So just to point out, and she does exist. Amen. She's been in the full-time ministry since the beginning of this year. Something that is so dear to my heart and something that I've been praying about for almost probably 2 or 3 years. And in September this year, 2 weeks ago, we started to level ground and we are putting up 2 containers for toy libraries in a very poor area. And so we can have 1 container here, 1 container here. We can have a roof over the top, a cement slab in between. And one is going to have a toy library for the children. And we're going to be able to lend toys out between the age group of 0 and 6. And in the other container, we can have Hope Worldwide working and doing ECD training. And so excited about this project. My prayer is that we can get companies on board and we can replicate this and go into very poor areas, and that at night time the containers are used to study God's word in, and during the day it's used for ECD. So that's my ultimate vision, and so please be praying along with me with that. Amen. Let's get into the word of God. This morning we're going to be speaking about a quiet time that I've had, and I really do pray that I can put it across in the best way. At this time, let's pray. Holy Father, what an honor it is to be here this morning. And it's just so incredible to be able to worship you across the world, and that we are all in you and we can remain in your love. And I do pray, God, right now that you will move me aside, that you will open up the eyes of our hearts, that we can really connect with you, that you'll do something special in our hearts and move us the way that you need to move us through your powerful scriptures. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. In John chapter 15, God's word says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of my word. I've spoken to you, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branches can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Each branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Amen. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learnt from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." And we do all go, amen. It's just, it really is so uplifting. And Jesus was this incredible teacher. And he could take tough concepts and yet make them come alive for you and I. He took tough concepts like the kingdom of God is this amazing treasure gone by that land. Have faith, buy it, and dig, and you will find the treasure. He took a concept like faith is like a planted mustard seed. Just take the small seed and plant it, and it will grow. And he takes this concept of the vine, because vines were everywhere in ancient Israel. And the scriptures frequently used the concept of a vine to explain Israel's relationship with God. And we see that in the scriptures, and we see that in Jeremiah 2 verse 21. And it says, I planted you like a choice vine, like a hybrid vine, a very special vine, the best of vines, of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt and wild vine? And we see the imagery of Israel as God's vineyard, which he himself planted. And you can almost picture the scene in John 15 as it's Christ's last night and he's walking through Jerusalem and he most probably comes across a vine. And he stops there and he says, let me teach you amazing disciples, you amazing apostles, let me teach you this concept of the vine. And Israel had failed to keep God's covenant. And Jesus is now saying, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. And this is Jesus' last I am statements in the book of Acts. I think it's the seventh one. And he says, I want you to understand this so clearly. And he's boldly declaring that he is the authentic Israel. And he says, please understand this. And then he goes on to the Garden of Gethsemane and he gets on his knees and he starts praying. But his whole message here is, remain in me. The only way to experience me and the only way to experience the life of the age to come is to enter into my life. And if you enter into my life, this is what it will be like. And when you think of a vine, really, if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, you can't take a branch away from the vine. They're connected. And so we need to be connected in this. And the only way for you and I to have a life that is being transformed and being transformed, it says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator, our lives are being transformed into the image of the creator. If we remain in the vine, there's actually not much that we have to do, because you will automatically be transformed into the image of his creator. It's very much like the moon and the sun. The energy source is the sun. And the moon is just a reflection of the sun. And the more the moon can be around the sun, the more the moon will reflect the sun. And the more you and I are remaining in the vine, we don't have to do much. We can reflect Jesus in our lives, because as in any plant, the nutrient comes up the center of the plant, the trunk of the plant, the vine, and it will go into the branches, and the branches will automatically grow. And if you take this concept and you think about marriage, what is it like to remain in your marriage? And I was just thinking about it, that if it's a covenant relationship, yes, you'll go through ups and downs, but what is it to remain in it? It's to trust in it, is to, well, this is such a holy place. Remember the vows that we've made, the promises that we've made to one another, and you remain in it. But what's it like to not remain in your marriage? It's to be half-hearted. One foot in your marriage and one foot out of your marriage. That meant if I'm attracted to my marriage, I'll be in it. If I'm not attracted to it, I'll be outside of it.
whoa, whoa.
Danger comes. And when you look at this whole concept of the vine and the branches, it's if we are in the vine and we remain in the vine, the joy and the love and the value and the beliefs, everything comes together. God's Spirit just radiates through us, and we can live this life of image bearers for Jesus Christ. But every vine needs to be pruned. And that's, I love this about Christ, because it's not just a matter of remaining in it so that we can bear the image of the King, but we need to also be pruned. And he has a short clip, and it's even got an American accent, so you should be able to follow. Amen. Amen. So now we visualize it. Imagine if we became this wild vine that Jeremiah speaks about, and we're just growing in all directions. Jesus wants us to be pruned so that we're going in the right direction. And what's interesting about the scriptures, he prunes every branch that bears fruit. He's not pruning branches that don't bear fruit. The branches that don't bear fruit, he's cutting off. But branches that are bearing fruit, he prunes so that they can go in the right direction and that we can then reflect the image of God. So I'm not sure what you like, but when we think of pruning, we go, ooh, ah, yee, don't show me those big clippers. I do not want those in my life. I like the way that I'm going. I like the direction I'm going. I like my group of relationships. I don't want to be pruned in this direction. But when we look at it, is Jesus saying that I am the authentic Israel? This is the way to do it. This is the only way to do it. And the benefits when we allow Jesus to prune our lives are tremendous. Those of you that have got children, and particularly as our children grow up, it's wonderful to allow them to prune your life. And our two girls, I love them to bits, but they're very honest with me. And I appreciate that. They say, Dad, can I talk into your life now? And I'm like, no, I am very busy, can't you see? Dad, there's something about your character and the way that you come across that I need to help you in, because it's not Christ-like. And, you know, you're very frustrated with our mum. You're a bit snappy over here. Are you all right? Is there something going on in your life that we don't know about? And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And thanks so much. You know, this is what's going on in my life. And please be praying for me. And I'm just not bearing the fruit that God wants me to bear. And when we welcome it, and when we allow it in our lives, and we allow ourselves to be pruned, really it's the best way. And it's the only way. Because for a productive vineyard, it needs to all be pruned in the right direction so that it can produce the fruit that God wants us to have. And God's got this incredible plan of, you know, that this is the fruit of love and joy and peace and self-control. And, you know, if we've got that coming out of our lives, whoa, we can glorify Him in such an amazing way. But maybe you're asking the question this morning, and it's not a bad question to ask, is, well, how do I remain in the vine? How do I remain in the love? And as you can see from the scriptures, he sort of ramps it up, and Christ starts off saying, just remain in the vine. And then he goes on, he says, now remain in my love. And yes, certainly we need to be folk that pray a lot and folk that are in God's word and that we deny ourselves and die to ourselves. But also part of remaining in him is remaining in the community that God's called us to be a part of. And this is so key here. Because there's no ways that a cane can survive on its own. And if we are all the canes that are attached to the vine, we have to remain in the vine. And part of remaining in Jesus is not just being religious. Well, I just need to pray and read God's word. We need to remain in the community. And that's what's so key here. That's what God is calling us to, because it's impossible to have this relationship with God if we're not remaining in the community. Because you're part of that vine and you can't cut it off. And he says in verse 10 is, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Following these commands and remaining in Christ's love must have been very important, because Jesus says, then your joy will be complete and my joy will be in you. And that was a big statement for the Jewish culture of the time, who only believed that their joy would be complete in the life of the age to come. But Jesus was saying you can live in the life of the age to come now and look forward to it in the future. Already, but not yet. And you're living out, whoa, this is amazing, because Jesus is the authentic Israel. And that he's calling us to that. And what are these commands? And he lays it out in verse 12. He says, to keep these commands is to love each other. Wow. Now think about it. If John 13 comes before John 15, amen. And he says, my command is this, love one another so that you are really my disciples, and people in the world can see that. He's calling us to not just love the world, but to love one another before anything else. And that's why part of remaining in the vine is remaining in the community. And what Jesus wants us to radiate out is the image of him, because we're so connected to the vine and our love for one another is so deep. And that starts to create vulnerable relationships. Deep relationships. Uncomfortable chats. Getting up and close into one another's lives. And that's the fruit that Christ is talking about here. We've often read these scriptures and said, well, just go out and baptize. That's the fruit. That's a byproduct of the love that we need to have. And the fruit that is speaking about is the love we have to have for one another, because the world will see that love and say, well, I want to come into that love. I want to experience that love. I see Steve and Carol so loving and giving, and their home is always open. I want to experience that. These guys are authentic. They're real because they're living it out. How do we do this? And there's a cycle that God's word is speaking about here. Keep my commands. That's going to help you to love one another. That's going to help you to remain in me. As you remain in me, you'll keep my commands. And so you'll love one another. And you will remain in my love. When we understand how much Jesus has loved us, not how much we need to love him. According to Ephesians chapter 3, I think, where Paul gets on his knees and says, man, all I pray for this church is for us to understand how much God loves us and is broad and wide and deep, not how much we need to love him. And when we get that right, we will remain in his love. We will obey his commands. We will start to love one another. And when we love one another, miraculous things take place. Very often we see our growth as a linear growth. And we look at, oh, well, you know what? I'm not doing too badly. I have come from this stage in my life with impurity, and I'm at this stage over here. But then when we fall back, we sort of almost fall back to the beginning of where we started, and we can get so confused. And like, is there really growth in my life? And then we get guilted out, and then our mind goes around, do I really love God? Does he really love me? But maybe if we look at our lives, and as we're remaining in the vine, it's more something like a shell, and it's about spiral growth. And that if Jesus is the core and right at the bottom, and we're going around in concentric circles, yes, we may have a struggle and we may have repented of that struggle, but that struggle will come around maybe not as frequently, but it may come around again, and you'll repent of that. And each time you'll be looking down into the middle of the shell and saying, yeah, God is with me. I'm in the vine and I'm growing. I don't need to start all over again. There is growth in my life, and we're encouraging each other with that. And I think that's the way that God wants us to see this life. Yeah, we're not perfect, and praise God for his grace, but there's spiral growth in each one of us in this room. We've grown a lot because of the blood of Christ, and we need to believe that. And no matter what struggles we've got, as long as it's getting wider and wider and we're looking down, we're like, whoa, I'm remaining in the vine. And that can be so encouraging. I was looking at my own life and wondering, how am I doing in remaining in the vine? And what is my love like for my fellow disciples? A disciple in Pretoria, South Africa, lost her sister. I've never met her sister. And the funeral was in the same province that I live in. And she came down from Pretoria for the funeral, and it was a rainy Saturday. We had to drive 2.5-3 hours in misty rain. And we arrive at the funeral, and the directions that we got was turn right when you see a blue building. So we really out there. You know what I mean? And so you turn right in a blue building, and then it says, like, look up on the hill, and 1.5 kilometers away, you'll see a big tent. And that's where you need to be. And so you're driving, and now you're off-road, and the vehicle's slipping all over the place, and cars are parked in the left and the right. And because I come from a farming background, I'm getting so excited. Muddy roads, this is awesome. You know, skidding through the mud, and got the vehicle very close to the tent, and we climb out. And the funeral was a 4-5 hour service, as Steve is aware, in our culture. Amen. And, you know, you're sitting there, and the whole funeral was in Zulu. And so I could understand a couple of words and this and that, and it was, you know. And you're with these folk, and I've never met them in my life before. But at the end, her family, Zama's family, said, who are these folk? And who is that white dude? There are 300 of us, and they're like three white dudes here. And they were like, wow, they would come all this way. They don't even know us. This, you must be part of something incredible. And it took me to the scriptures like, oh, this is the way that God wants us to live it out. It's by our love. And if we can radiate that love out, that our true identity is Jesus Christ. It's not politics. Amen? The Democrats and the Republicans and this and that. No. Our identity is G-O-D. And that's our political party. Amen. And that's what we need to live for. And in my country, it's not the ANC or the DA or the EFF or the IFP, but it's a G-O-D. And that's what we have to stand for, because if we're in the vine, we're connected to one another, and we've got no choice but show each other incredible love. It's a love that God wants. And as I close this morning, as you see a vineyard, don't you admire the fruit? Don't you admire bunches of grapes? And you think, my goodness, if I could just get my hands on those. We're eating some grapes last night. You know, all they tasty things, aren't they? But do you realize, and did you notice something that was said in that clip this morning? That if you want top quality fruit, pruning has to take place. And it even goes a step further than that, because they've discovered that watering of a grapevine, you have to put a vine through stress to produce the best fruit. And so they don't even have the drip watering down the middle closest to the root structure. They have it on the extreme left and the extreme right. And when they're watering the left roots, the right roots are going through a drought. And they're stressing them. And they swap over between 4 and 14 days. So they water these, and then they swap over to this side. And the roots that have been stressed out, they water, and they stress out that side. And that produces the best fruit. And this causes the roots, because we all know that the roots produce the fruit. If you're trying to run off the fruit in your life, you ain't going to grab the right fruit. But if you're focused on the roots, it will automatically produce the fruit without you even focused on the fruit. Amen. And that's the way that we have to see God's word. And this causes the roots to send signals to the canes, which we are. Amen. So introduce yourself to the cane next to you. Amen. We are all canes. Amen. Branches. And it tells them to concentrate on grape production and not leaf production. It says, no, we want grape production. We want fruit production. We don't want just the leaf production. And that's what that stressing does. And when God puts you and I through stress, through droughts, through tough times, it's all part of God's plan. Why? Because God is more interested in the quality of our fruit. And the quality of our fruit is the quality of our love that we show one another. And if we have that quality of love, wow. Imagine what God can produce in each one of us. And as a corporate community too. And that's what God wants us to focus on. And that's all I want to leave you this morning. Hopefully there was something that got into your heart. And you can take home and really think and meditate and pray about. Say, God, wow, I need to look at life through different lenses. And the tough times that I'm going through, please bear the fruit that you want me to bear. This fruit of incredible love. Amen. God bless.